All right, so community groups are obviously what we've been talking about last week, and then we're going to talk more about that today. And that's kind of part of our series for the month of September. And you know, the video we just talked about was talking about the gathered and the scattered, and those are pretty common theological concepts for the church about how we gather together on Sundays, or in some churches they gather for public worship on other days too, but we gather together as a large group of people. And what are some of the things that we're doing when we gather together? We're singing songs, we're hearing the Bible, we're, what else?
Talking.
Where, what was it?
Talking.
Talking, just talking to each other?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Some of you talk in the middle of the sermon. It's always really cool that you do that. I'm like, hey, I'm over here. We pray together. What else? What are some of the things that happen when we gather together as a community? Build relationships. That's right. What else? We get rid of our kids. Some of us are, yes. Some of you are like, you're so mean. You don't have five kids at home anymore. Anyway, there's a lot of things that happen as we gather together, right? I mean, I think that it really there is a lot to the whole gathering in the aspect of, you know, we get to hear the Bible, we get to share stories, we get to pray for one another, we get to also see our friends. I mean, I think one of the things that happens for me every Sunday is that it's great seeing you. I mean, just coming and gathering and seeing people that I've come to know and love can be really encouraging, right? And so we gather together, but then after a certain point in time, you've got to leave. Right? You got to go. You have to scatter. And that's where the core groups come in the sense that we gather together and then we scatter outside and we go about our different lives. And so some of you are involved in work in the workplace, and so you're at a job Monday through Friday, and some of you might be a stay-at-home dad or a stay-at-home mom and you're watching kids and doing that throughout the week. And there's just all these different relationships that happen outside. And what I found is that by Wednesday or Thursday, I'm generally really in need of connecting with some other followers of Jesus. Anybody in the room able to recognize that need?
Yep.
You're like, man, if I don't see somebody and they don't pray for me quick, these kids are going to be suffering, right? Whatever. It's like we go through things. Or you might have a boss you know, that you work with that just drives you crazy. And, you know, by Thursday or Friday, you need to have some support. By Wednesday, man, sometimes it's Monday afternoon. Right?
Right. Yeah.
And so that's the gathered and then the scattered. So in the space of the scattered, we want to be talking about how can we be encouraged and how can we essentially make it. And that's kind of what we're talking about in some degree today as well as the rest of this month. But I have this foundational assumption, and I really do believe this, is I believe that that healthy churches are comprised of communities that have many different circles in them where people are able to grow and also care for one another. Like, it just, we have to, as a community, acknowledge that this is not enough. Right now, this is not enough. I mean, if you really want to be growing and if you want to have your needs met, this can't be it. I hope you know it. Because what happens is we gather once and it can be really good. But honestly, if we're just being honest, by Wednesday or Thursday, it's pretty tough, isn't it?
Yes.
And so we can't be a church that's just built off of having one public gathering. And so I really believe that healthy churches have many different circles where growth and encouragement is happening, right? There has to be these many different circles. And I believe that because I have this growing concern about American Christianity, and this is just being very vulnerable with you, in the sense that a lot of our churches in America are centered on a human being, and it's not Jesus.
Right.
Like, they're centered on a pastor or a leader, and that's like the whole entire church is based off of and centered around that leader. And yet, so what happens is when that leader doesn't meet the expectations or fails in some way, what happens to those churches? Anybody know? They like actually implode, right? I mean, it's like, well, and it's fascinating about the vineyard. I mean, I could talk about this all day long, but there's certain traditions out there that you go to that church because of that church's denomination feeling. So I have tons of Catholic friends. They would go to a Catholic church anywhere in the world. Why? Because it's a Catholic church, right? They don't go because of the priest. They don't even know the priest's name half the time. Like, I don't know, some dude, he's up there, he does things, but I'm Catholic, right? And it was said, in the vineyard tradition and in our types of churches, it's almost always the opposite. Like, people go to our types of churches based off of the senior pastor or the worship leader or whatever. You guys with me right now? Like, I'm just telling you how, this is reality, okay? You might be sitting there like, I don't know where this is going. I'm just telling you that this is the type of church that we tend to be, and so we should push back on that. I think. As people, we should say that our church should be centered on one human being. His name is Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And so because of that, we have to recognize that healthy spirituality, healthy community has to exist beyond just this space right here. And so what I want to kind of argue for this morning is the priority of core groups or community groups. And here's what I want to do. Because some of you are going to be like, there's no way that I can commit to going to a core group every Wednesday because that's my badminton tournament night. And I love badminton, and I've been doing it forever, and I'm part of the U.S. Olympic badminton team, and I just can't make it. Fair enough, okay? But you can gather with other people who follow Jesus in other spaces, and maybe you do that once a week for lunch. Like this week, I had two gatherings with people that really, really was helpful for me. I met with Kelly Lindauer, and Kelly and I got lunch together, and we just spent some time talking about the kingdom of God. We talked about prayer, and it was just really great, middle of the day type thing. We both just grabbed a cheeseburger, etc. And then on Friday, I was able to get with Greg Coy, and Greg and I spent some time talking, and Greg's going to lead a core group. And I'm going to be his assistant. So he's actually the senior pastor of our core group. So give him a round of applause. Good job. Thank you. He was telling me this morning that we should tell people he's just a homeless guy. I was like, where did you come up with that? Point being is that these two gatherings I had this week were in the middle of the week, and they were super encouraging. They were just great spaces where I felt I walked away from those gatherings really, really encouraged. And so that's what I want to talk about is that core groups. But if you're unable to do core groups because you're badminton tournaments, there's other spaces that you can be involved in community too. So you guys with me?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay, so let's pray real quick. Heavenly Father, we ask right now for your presence to be with us as your Spirit is encouraging our hearts, is giving us vision, and for you to help us to make commitments to the kingdom and to push back against the things of this world, and that we would ultimately place our allegiances to Jesus and his kingdom above anything else. And I pray that as we spend time talking about what the Bible teaches and the values of community, that you would help us to see how we can apply it in our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So let me ask this question, assuming that some of you might be wondering what it is. The question is what is a core group? But before we do that, I want to read this passage of scripture from Hebrews. Okay, and we're going to ground everything we're going to talk about this morning off this. But listen to what the writer of Hebrews says. He says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. So when I was growing up, every time I would hear this Bible verse, anytime I heard a sermon, it was always given from a pastor trying to make me feel terrible for not being at church on a Sunday morning. Anybody ever sat through a sermon like that? Because you're about to. Just kidding.
No.
I heard all these sermons about how, like, if I wasn't at church every Sunday, that I was somehow not really following Jesus. And I grew up with that. That was the type of spirituality that oftentimes was communicated in my life throughout the years of growing up, and you know, in high school and in college. And then it was also kind of the way that I thought. You know, so I became a pastor. I became a senior pastor of a church when I was 25, 26 years old, which basically means I was a small child trying to lead a church. And I remember having this vibe where it was like the assumption was that if people weren't there on a Sunday morning, there was something wrong spiritually. And that's something that I just was ingrained in my spirituality. So I actually started pastoring, and I didn't miss a Sunday for about 5 years. I was there every Sunday, ready to go. And you know, and people weren't there, I'd be like, well, they just don't love God, or whatever. And so 5 years into it, I had the opportunity to go on a vacation with my family, and it was over the weekend. So we drove our car for 3 hours to the northern part of Wisconsin, and we got on a ferry with our car, and we went and traveled to this island. It was called Madeline Island in the Apostle Islands. And we got there, and it's like this really beautiful campground. And how many of you have camped with children, and you know that your children don't go to bed until 3 in the morning because they discover flashlights? And it's like they're just all night long, you know? And so we don't go to bed until 3. And so naturally, you wake up around 9:15 in the morning. I remember I got up, and no one else is up, and it's just as beautiful as a beach. And I remember I went and turned on, I had this little like electric thing I plugged into my car to make hot water. So I made some hot water, poured it into my French press, made my French press, put the French press into my cup, you know, and I'm sitting there and I walk out to the beach, and I remember taking a sip of this coffee, and I looked out over Lake Superior, and I remember thinking like, this is so much better than Sunday morning church. This is like amazing. You know, this moment of just like, wow, I get it. That's why people go on vacation. This is amazing, right? Anybody ever had a vacation where you feel that way?
Yes.
Right? It's like really good, right? And what I've learned over the years is that there's these rhythms that we have to have in our lives to help refresh us and refocus us and renew us. And vacations are good.
Yes,
and so this passage of scripture, I don't think the author of this passage of scripture, whoever she or he was, because we don't know exactly who wrote Hebrews, whoever wrote it, they weren't trying to make us feel guilty and judged if we don't gather on a Sunday morning. That's not the point. Okay? The point of this passage of scripture is to show us the priority of gathering together. And that can happen in many different spaces. So like the major public way we do that is on Sunday mornings here at the Vineyard, but there's all these other spaces that we can gather with other followers of Jesus and encourage one another. Does that make sense? Are you with me?
Yeah.
So like it's not an anti-vacation tirade, okay? And that's definitely not the point of the sermon this morning. It's to show us the priority of gathering in community. And so I want to go back to that question. This question that kind of I want to start off with is, what is a core group? Or what is community gatherings? Or what is kinships? Whatever word you want to use to describe the type of gathering I'm talking about today. This is how I define it. Core groups are safe spaces where people gather together to learn about Jesus. They encourage and pray for one another. They share food and drink, all with the goal of growing closer to God and people. Does that make sense? So, like, this to me is like foundational, core group life. Like, when we're doing life together and we have a group of people, these are some of the things that we should be shooting for. We should be shooting for having a safe space where we gather together, we're learning about Jesus, we're encouraging and praying for one another, we're sharing food and drink, because food and drink has the ability to actually create space where people feel safe and they're able to open up. Amen? Anybody like having a cup of coffee with somebody? It just creates like this thing with people. And then it's all with the goal of growing closer to God and growing closer to people. And so there's an emphasis here in our church, and it's based off of our understanding that the reason why this is so important is because we are first and foremost a discipleship movement. Meaning in the sense that our whole approach to church is that we are all supposed to be growing as disciples of Jesus. Like if you follow Jesus, Jesus' invitation to the disciples was to come and follow me, right? And then you become his disciple, you become one of his followers, and then we grow together. But what I found is that when we become followers of Jesus and we learn about Jesus, we can't help but tell other people about who Jesus is, right? I mean, when you discover how good God is, how can you not want to share that with people, right? I mean, like, I just am telling you that last night I was in my kitchen and I was just kind of praying and standing there. And I just felt like the Lord just in the back of my mind, just like still small voice, just told me, I felt like the Lord said, you have no idea how much I love you. And it was like, whoa, out of the blue. And then I just started thinking about that. Do you know how much God loves us? I mean, it is astronomical. His love for us is beyond fathoming in our life, right? I mean, that's what we spend the rest of our lives trying to actually come to terms with, the great, gracious love of God, which is so good that he sent his son Jesus to die on a cross for us. So if you don't know your love this morning, let me tell you right now, you are deeply loved by God. God loves you more than you could ever fathom. You have no ability in this side of eternity, I think, to fully comprehend the great love of God. And so when you come to terms with that, what do you want to do? You have friends and you have family members that you know need to know the love of God. So what do you want to do?
Rejoice.
Well, tell them about it, right? Like, hey, can I let you in on a little secret? And it's not so secret. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Like, it's like this story of Jesus. So this is guiding us as a church. Discipleship and mission. We have these things that's why we say our mission is knowing Jesus and making him known. And that's not because we just came up with that. It's because we see that in scripture. The whole point of the Bible is that God is eager to be known and we are joining him in his mission. Amen?
Amen.
So what is a core group? It's a safe space. We're learning together. We're encouraging and praying. We're sharing together. We are trying to grow closer to God and closer to people. And so with that in mind, I want to jump into just talking about a few of the values of core groups. A few of the reasons why we're building off of Hebrews 10 and the way that we think of gathering together and scattering together as well. Okay, there's some reasons why we do that based off of Hebrews 10. And so here's the first thing about these gatherings is that we are trying to create safe spaces. Like, I don't think we can underestimate the value of creating and maintaining safe spaces for people to grow closer to Jesus. Like, I think sometimes if you grew up in church, you might have actually forgotten what it was like the first time you came to church. Like, anybody in the room come to church recently or try to visit a church and you're like, what are some of the questions you have? Where will they make me sit? Are they going to make me stand up and do some weird dance because I'm new? Like, that actually happens in churches, right? There's all these questions we have, and so that's why we want to work hard as a church to create safe spaces. A number of years ago, I kind of came to grips with the reality of how this is such an important value is because I was helping lead a core group. I was just a helper. There was another person that was leading it, and I learned so much from him in this space because we started our group. We were doing the Alpha Course. Some of you may have heard the Alpha Course. The Alpha Course is a practical introduction to Christianity. So it's all about answering the questions about why Christianity is a reasonable worldview to embrace, all right? So week one is like, what is the Bible? Week number two is, who is Jesus? Things like that, right? And so there was this guy who started coming. I was 24 at the time. I thought I knew everything, so he was like a young child to me. He was 22. Okay, that's just reality. So he comes in, and like, you know, we had all of our chairs in a circle, and he comes in, and I'll never forget, he came in, he walked in and grabbed his chair, and then he turned it like that, and he sat down in it, and he sat like this the whole time. And do you know what this means? Husbands, if you would like to know what this means, ask your wife what it means when she says whatever. Okay? If your wife says whatever to you, what does she mean? You don't want to know. It's bad news, right? And that's the message he was saying to us. It's like, leave me alone. I'm not really interested in being here. We found out that his dad had basically forced him to come, right? So first week, he's sitting in like this, and he literally doesn't say anything. Just like getting, you know, we end. He gets up and just leaves. Like, oh, see you later. Bye. And then the next week, he comes. And then the third week, he actually, like, is sitting there, and he kind of, like, as we're talking, he just kind of turns his chair a little bit, and he asks a question. And everybody was like, oh, great question, and da-da-da. Well, over the course of this time, literally every week, it was like he would turn it a little bit more until finally he's, like, fully engaged in discussions about the topics we're in, right? And so this is going on, and we're forming this relationship to where, you know, he's starting to ask me questions. I'm talking to him. We start talking outside of church, and so one day he's like, hey, is it cool? Would you like to play video games? And I was like, I guess I can force myself to do that with you. I mean, for Jesus. And so we go to his house, and, well, it's for Jesus, so I had to, right? And so we go to his house, and I think we got there like at 12 o'clock in the afternoon, you know, and we're playing video games, and then, you know, about 14 hours later when I come out, I walk outside, and it's just like, you know, dark, and I'm like, what's been happening, right? And so that was like the start of this relationship. So then a week later, or actually I think it was that night, he's driving me home, that's what it was. He's driving me home, and he's like, hey, so I think I want to do it. And I'm like, oh, like get another video game or? And he says, well, I think I'm ready to become a follower of Jesus. And so we pull over, and he just starts sharing about how, you know, his life, what his story was, is that his dad had gone to prison, became a follower of Jesus, came out of prison, and was like forcing him to go to church and just ramming it down his throat because his dad was obviously so worried about him following in his footsteps. And so that turned him off, and he was anti-church or anything. But he had said, hey, I'll go to church. Or his dad had said, hey, if you go to this Bible study, I'll pay for your college. And so obviously I'd be going to a Bible study as well, right? So he came, but it was over the course of this safe space that he was able to articulate his concerns and his questions and have them answered in a non-judgmental way that he came to the point where he wanted to follow Jesus. And so the safe spaces thing is a legit, real thing, and that's one of the things that we want to do with our core groups or any gathering when you're meeting with other people. Don't you want the people you're meeting with to know that it's safe for them?
Yes.
Right? Like, it's an important value. And so I just really cannot say how strongly I believe that we oftentimes underestimate this, but it is absolutely crucial to discipleship and evangelism, is that people need to know that they can ask us questions. Did you know? I'm sure you do. But the world around us, people who do not follow Jesus have hundreds of questions about following Jesus. I mean, like every week I meet with people in coffee shops that are on this like journey, and they're curious about us. And so I'll get together for coffee with them, and I get asked almost the same five questions every time I get together. I mean, this is a common question. It's like, how can there be a loving God in a world with so much evil and bad stuff? How can God allow those things to happen? Anybody ever have anybody ask you that question?
Yes.
And that's a common question. And honestly, I really don't think a lot of Christians have maybe thought about the various answers that we have. But the Christian tradition actually has probably five really good answers to that, right? And you can, so these safe spaces where people can ask that question, and if you're in a core group, you can say, I don't know. but let me get back to you. Let me find out. Or maybe you do know the answer to that and you're able to work it through them. But like, there's all these questions that people have, and the importance of safe spaces, I cannot underestimate and undervalue. Hopefully you all can hear that. The next thing about the value that we get from Hebrews 10 is that there's a space for learning about Jesus, and I'll be really brief on this. But one of the most theologically rich truths that we have in the back of our minds, hopefully, is that when we gather together with people to talk about Jesus, did you know that the Spirit of Jesus is actually present with us?
Amen.
I mean, just think about that for a minute. When we gather together with like two or three people, and that's what Matthew 18, let's look at this right here. Jesus says, he says, "For where two or three gather together as my followers, I am there among them."
Amen. Okay?
So just think about this is like rich. We gather together with two or three people, maybe up to 12 people in a little core group. We're sitting in a living room. We're talking about Jesus. Did you know that the Spirit of Jesus is present with us as we are actually exploring who Jesus is? I mean, I don't know about you, but we meet about other things all the time. We're like, hey, let's meet up and talk about so-and-so. They're not there. They're dead, right? Like, I grew up going to, you know, going to these seminary classes. We would, okay, we're going to meet and we're going to talk about Karl Barth. Okay, well, let's have all these discussions about this theologian named Karl Barth. Guess what? He's dead, right? Like, he's not there. When we gather to discuss Jesus and his kingdom, he's present via the Holy Spirit. Like, that is theologically rich for us. And it's one of the reasons why I think that these core group gatherings are so important, is that Jesus makes himself known to us. He's actually present through the Holy Spirit. So the church gatherings aren't just social club gatherings. Church gatherings are spaces where king and kingdom break into our space, and we get to experience those things in a very powerful way.
Hallelujah.
So there's that. That's, yeah. How do you think? Hallelujah. It's a good thing. Just me and you again. I don't know where everybody else is at. They're sleeping again. Wake up, folks. All right. So another thing about these gatherings is the one anothering. And that's such a weird sentence to say that we need to be more one anothering. But it's actually a biblical concept. Right? The whole idea of gathering together with other people is so that we can one another. And I've done this before in the past, but I can literally point you to dozens of texts of scripture where the authors of the New Testament tell us that we need to one another. So let me just give you three examples this morning, okay? Really quickly, Paul writes in Romans, "Owe nothing to anyone except for your obligation to
love
one another. If you love your neighbor, you will fulfill the requirements of God's law." So Paul says, hey, one of the things we're supposed to do for each other is love one another. Then he writes to the Ephesians. He says, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior." And his whole point in Ephesians, he says this in chapter 2, is like, that's the old way of living. You have experienced the new birth. This is the new way of living, okay? And then he says, instead of the old way of living, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Right, do you see these one another's? And there's one other one. James says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Now, some of you are thinking, so does that mean next Sunday I need to stand in front of the whole entire church and confess my sins to people? We would love it if you would do that. It'd be very entertaining. I'm just kidding. I don't think that's what James is getting at. I think he's talking about in the context of gatherings with people that you trust and you know that you can be vulnerable with, you do that. And so that just feeds right into this idea of when we scatter together and we gather in smaller groups, right? We can do that. And so James makes it clear that one anothering is an important aspect of church life. And then additionally, in relation to that too, there's sharing together. And this is obviously similar to one anothering, but we need to have space both to receive and to give. We as followers of Jesus, I really believe this, we have to have space where we can receive and we can give. So a number of years ago, this is one of the first core group gatherings that I knew was going on in the church that I was pastoring at before here. We had this lady start going, and she was brand new and didn't know anything about church or, you know, kingdom or anything. But she got invited to go to this core group. And so she shows up, and the first week, you know, there's kind of ice breaking it and sharing different things, and they're getting to know each other. And the second week, kind of the same thing, and she's kind of getting to know them. And then the third week, I think it was the third week, she's sitting there, and somebody in the core group was like, hey, we're going to pray at the end of this gathering, and if you have any needs, what are some needs you have? And so she, being a single mom of, I think she had three children, she says, well, I actually could really use some help. My car is on the verge of breaking down. It's not running very well, and I have to obviously use this car to get my kids to school and yada, yada, yada. And so what happens is they pray for her, and then one of the guys after it says, hey, I have a friend who's a mechanic, and I know he'd be willing to help you out, and I'll pay for all the work. And so that happens, and so her car gets fixed, and guess what? She comes back week four, right? And she's like, thank you so much. That was so helpful. And so she receives. Well, a year later, she's at another courtroom, and she's grown, and she's, you know, part of our church family, and she comes to this core group, and she had just been given four brand new tires from someone. They were like, hey, I got these tires. Maybe you can use them for your car. So she took them. She found out they didn't fit her van, though. So she's like, they're not going to work. So she sits down at this core group, and that's in the back of her mind, and they have another new person there. And this new person is when the person was asked, what are the needs you have, shares, hey, I actually just got a flat tire, and I have four bad tires on my car. I just really need to get some help with that. Could you guys pray for that? Well, guess what she's doing? Uh-huh. She's like, I got the tires! And so it was great because it turns out the tires actually fit her car. And so this is a great illustration of how we need to receive, but we also need to give, right? And in a core group, you have that opportunity to learn about people's lives and to hear about what God's doing in their life, or you hear about the challenges so that you can receive from them as well as give back. And so, I mean, the things that prevent us from really diving into this, honestly, in our culture is that we're afraid of commitment. We have time management problems as people. Would anybody in the room say amen to that and be self-aware enough to say that, yeah, you can commit to your badminton tournaments, but you can't come to church in the middle of the week? I don't get it, right? So we need to, like, really place a priority on our spiritual lives. That's kind of what I'm getting at, is that we want to prioritize these things. And I guarantee you that if you prioritize your spiritual life, you will find it's definitely worth it. So all of these things I just talked about, the safe spaces, the learning about Jesus, the one anothering, the sharing together, it all kind of leads up to the main thing about core group gatherings. And this is what I would say. All these things, they add up to one of the most important realities for us as followers of Jesus, and it's this. Is that this is the space where we get to know more about God and self and others. That's what happens in this space, is that we know more about God, we know more about ourselves, we learn more about others. One of the theologians that I've read a lot of is a guy named John Calvin. Some of you might have heard of John Calvin, but he's a 16th century reformer, and he wrote a book called The Institutes of Christian Religion. It's like four books, it's just huge. And it's all this theology, but the very beginning part of his systematic theology, he says this essentially. He says, the whole idea of like being a follower of Jesus is about knowing God and knowing self. And knowing self and knowing God. And he has this whole real long chapter about how there's this relationship where the more that we know God, the more that God actually reveals about us. Anybody in the room able to recognize that as what happens? Yeah. Right? Like, we learn more about God, and then he has a way of shining a light and revealing who we are. Yep. And yet the more that we seek to know ourselves, the more that we can't help but ask the question of who is God? Who has created us? Who has wired us and shaped? And so I think that's true. But what I'd also say is that part of this whole thing is about not just knowing God and knowing self, but it's also about knowing other people, because other people can help us know God, and other people can help us know ourselves a little better too, right? And we don't always like to hear that, but that is the reality, is that other people can help us in that aspect. Let's stand up together. Very quickly, you know, the way that I got into the Vineyard was, you know, my mom had become the follower of Jesus before I could even know that that was a thing. You know, so I grew up in the church like my whole life. And, you know, for better or for worse from that, in that aspect. But I've been in church my whole life, for the most part. And my mom became a follower of Jesus in a church tradition that was super, super conservative, super, super, I would say, boring. That's mean, but it was. And like music, there was no musical instruments. The preaching was like just, it was just not very helpful. In fact, I used to fall asleep every Sunday until my dad would slap me, and that was back in the day when your dad would just slap you in the head.
Yeah.
Okay? Like, and then he would fall asleep and be snoring in the middle of the church, and I was like, who gets to slap him?
Yeah.
I never did it. But just really, it was a really pretty challenging context for growth, I'd say, for me. And so it was boring. I didn't have any desire to really go to church. Honestly, as a kid, I was like, man, as soon as I turn 18, I'm out. And but when I was about 10, 11 years old, we started going to a different type of church. And they were playing these tapes and talking a lot about this guy named John Wimber, who was the founder of the Vineyard. And so we started attending this Vineyard church. We were there like the second or third week that it had started. It was a church plant meeting in a school. And there were a couple things about this church that immediately stood out to me. And so as a 10, 11-year-old kid, I remember walking in, and one of the things that I was like blown away by was that during the singing, the music, in the church I had been before, we just stood there and we sang these songs, and you know, they were about God and they were pretty boring, honestly. And then I noticed though in this church gathering that people were singing songs to Jesus, mm-hmm. and there was like this raw vulnerability that everybody had, where people, like I would look around and there were men who had their hands up to God and were weeping. And these were like men, you know, like men. It was like, oh my gosh, they're like so vulnerable with God. And then, you know, they would like get done crying and wipe their tears, and then they'd be back to like getting on their Harley motorcycle and driving away and, you know, being scary or whatever. I don't know. Point being is that there was this level of vulnerability in their worship. Like, and as a kid, I looked up, I was like, man, that's something new. And it wasn't just with God, though. There was another type of vulnerability that was happening with these people amongst each other. Like, I remember going to a core group as a young, I was 10, 11 years old, and so I remember I was just sitting there, and my mom and dad were making me go to this core group. I was sitting there, and I was like, oh my gosh, an hour and a half, and they would sing, and people were worshiping, and I was like, oh, there's something about this. And then what would happen is that people would start sharing the things that they're going through in life, and they'd be crying, and it'd just be like so vulnerable, and then they would get up, and they would go around each other, and lay hands on each other, and pray for each other, and just express love. But that significantly impacted me. Like, for my whole life, I've known that one of the things that, whatever church I'm a part of, one value that we have to have is vulnerability. We have to be willing to be vulnerable before God and vulnerable with other people. Amen? Amen. Like, this is who we are. That's part of the Vineyard, you know, like, DNA. And so, you know, this morning, there's probably a number of things that God is doing in your life. You probably have different needs that you have in your life. But I just would really love to pray for you as a community, that we as a community would be able to be very vulnerable with God, but also that we should have community spaces where we can be vulnerable with other people. And so I just love to pray for that. So if you can close your eyes, if that helps you. I know that some of you are afraid of core groups, or you know, that just kind of like weirds you out. Fair enough. But I do know that healthy spirituality is something that we want to pursue, and without vulnerability before God, to like let Him know what we need from Him, to let Him know our love and our devotion to Him, and just to be able to abandon that in a sense is important. And it's also important for us to be able to do that with other people. And so, Holy Spirit, we thank You for Your presence here right now. And Father, I want to pray for every person in this room, God, that You would shape us as a collective group of individuals, that You would shape us in a way that every woman, every man, every younger, every older, every middle-aged person in this room would be able to be vulnerable with You, God. We know, I mean, You know everything. It's not like we can hide anything from You. And though You know everything about us, though You know about what secret things happen and what is in our hearts and our minds, God, yet You still love us. And so I just pray for everybody here that there would be a commitment to being vulnerable with You, God, that when we're with You, God, we can get real. And then I also pray, Lord, that You would help us to overcome any of the obstacles that prevent us from being vulnerable with other people. Father, I pray that You'd bring healing from any relationship breakdowns, that You would really help us as people be able to find and identify people who we can actually grow closer to and share life with, God, and that we could encourage one another through those things. And so whatever things need to be overcome, God, I pray in the name of Jesus that You would right now help every person in this room identify what those things are. Father, any of the other needs that are in this room, Lord, I just know that there's needs for physical healing, there's needs for emotional healing, there's needs for provision. In the name of Jesus, every one of those needs that we individually have, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you would meet every single one of them, that you would give everybody in this room hope and encouragement, and that you would help us to see, Lord, the kingdom of God for what it is. And Lord, as we have gathered this morning together, I pray that as we scatter out into the community around us, Lord, that you would do mighty and amazing things in our lives. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Have a great week, and we'll see you next Sunday.